Friday morning. We're talking movies with Brett Hoffman of Marcus Theaters. Good morning.
Good morning, Don.
Now, this first movie that just came out, a friend of mine, the movie mom, Nell Minow, I was reading her review on RogerEbert.com, and she gave this 4 out of 4 stars, said it was spectacular. The movie, Hoppers.
That's right. It's a PG animated family adventure. It's brought to you by Disney Pixar. And this one is going to surprise everyone, but it should not, because Pixar has such a great pedigree delivering fantastic product to us. This one's a new one. It's the first. But after you see this movie, after we talk about it, I think we probably will see some sequels in the works for this one, because it is doing dynamite with those who have seen it already. You mentioned your friend, the critic that you had read. Also, its Rotten Tomatoes critics percentage right now is a 96%, which is just absolutely phenomenal. We had sneak peeks of these last Saturday of people coming to see it. Everyone that watched this movie absolutely loved it. You've got a gem on your hands. And, well, let me tell you a little bit about
it. Yeah, what's it about? Yeah.
So Disney Pixar, they have this movie where scientists have discovered how to hop into human consciousness and into these robotic-like animals. And what they do is they allow people to communicate with animals as animals. So you can kind of avatar-like control animals and kind of figure out what's going on. And in this adventure, there's a girl named Mabel. She's an animal lover, and she seizes the opportunity to use the technology. And when she does so, she uncovers a bunch of mysteries in the animal world about how they perceive us, how we might perceive them. All kinds of stuff goes on. It is a fun adventure comedy for the family, and I think everyone's going to love this. I mean, the whole idea of if you could communicate and you could transport yourself into one of these animals and figure out what they think of us, that's kind of the whole basis for what's going on here.
I don't think I want to know. I want to know what they think of me. Now, Pixar used to be a separate company other than Disney. Disney bought it eventually, but it was a startup company, Pixar, and they started doing a different kind of animation, which is the animation we see today. Before that, all the animation was drawn on paper or cells or whatever, how they did it. But then they did the new kind of animation, and Disney said, we're not going to fight them. We're going to buy them. And they bought Pixar, and that's why it's Disney Pixar today. So talk about some of the Pixar movies that did real well over the past few years.
Well, they've had a phenomenal track record. In total, they've released 27 feature films. Worldwide, 16 of them have crossed the $500 million mark. When we just look domestically at their top movies, their top movies were Toy Story 3, which came out a few years ago. It came out in 2010, $415 million. Toy Story 4, which came out in 2019, $434 million. Finding Dory was a gem, $486 million when it came out in 2016. And then The Incredibles 2 in 2018 made $608 million. And just a little bit ago, 2 years ago, Inside Out 2 made $652 million in 2024. And we're not counting just the list that goes on and on and on. When you look at Up, Monsters, Inc., the other Toy Stories, Cars, Wall-E, Coco, Ratatouille, all of these movies were fantastic. And I think Hoppers is following that. I think Hoppers just it will probably catch on with word of mouth a little bit because it's a new movie, but this one is absolutely fantastic. It's got a great voice cast. It's got John Hamm. It's got Meryl Streep. It's got Dave Franco. It's got a whole bunch of other people in it. Lots going for it, and Pixar has a fantastic track record as well. So I know people are going to enjoy this one. Just trust me on this one. It's a no-brainer. All of these Pixar movies, if you liked any one of them, you're going to like Hoppers this weekend.
Boy, how'd they get Meryl Streep?
Yeah, she must know someone. Someone must know her type of thing. Yeah.
Everybody's after her to be in a movie, and they got her in this animated film, which is good because you don't have to dress up. You can just come in your, sweats and, and sit down in front of a microphone and cut your part. You know, I just saw Up for the first time a few months ago. A neighbor friend of mine comes over on Friday nights with his dog, and he said, "You got to see this movie. You got to see." And I cried. It was sad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all I did was see Ed Asner in that role. You know, he did the voice, but the character looked like Ed Asner in the movie. So, yeah, I said that for the first time. That was good. So, Hoppers opens up this weekend. Kids going to be running all over the theater. It'll be big. Something totally different. Totally different. The Bride.
That's right. No mistaking the fact that these are on opposites of each other. So, The Bride. This is an R-rated horror gothic thriller. It's got a great Rotten Tomatoes rating in the 60% right now. And the film revisits the classic Bride of Frankenstein story, and this is from the bride's point of view. So the bride has been brought to life by a scientist, Dr. Frankenstein, and she begins to question her creator and what she's been forced into. This one has a great pedigree for success. Maggie Gyllenhaal directs this one, who, of course, is excellent. And then it stars Jesse Buckley and Christian Bale. So Jesse Buckley's the bride. Christian Bale's Frankenstein's monster. Christian Bale, tremendous actor. And Jesse Buckley, she's up for an Academy Award this year for Hamnet and is favored to win. So when you look at these two that are coming on screen, great story, great director, great cast. And this one is definitely going to help out where people, horror thriller seekers, cinemaphiles. This one's got a great potential for this weekend as well.
Christian Bale, a lot of people know him as Batman, but when my daughter was little, she loved the Disney musical Newsies, which later became a Broadway musical. And Christian Bale was a kid in that film. He was singing and dancing in Newsies, but I thought his best performance was in The Big Short. Remember that movie?
Oh, of course. What a great movie about how that failure of Wall Street happened.
Yeah, the big housing market collapse. Mm-hmm. And he played a real-life guy who predicted this would happen. And then at the end of the film, it's scary because now he says he's investing in water. And when the lights went up in the theater, people, water, do we have to buy water? Gee, he's investing in water. Maybe we should invest in water. He was right. I mean, this guy was amazing. It's called The Big Short. So if you get a chance to see that one after you see The Bride. Now, we talked on our recorded show we do on Mondays. But The Bride, the original one, after they made the original Frankenstein of the 1930s with Boris Karloff, the sequel was The Bride of Frankenstein with Elsa Lancaster, whose husband was Charles Laughton. Now, in The Bride of Frankenstein, Elsa Lancaster doesn't say one word because the bride doesn't speak. And that got 4 stars, but the original Frankenstein only got 3. The Bride of Frankenstein was a better movie, they said, than the original Frankenstein. Then, after Flashdance, Jennifer Beals was the bride. And I think that was the name of the film, wasn't it? The Bride?
Yeah, it was 1985, yeah.
85, yeah, yeah. So she went from Flashdance to that. And that one didn't do well, though, right?
No, that didn't do well. It was kind of commercially just not very accepted, but 1985 movie The Bride, and it took a little while, but we've seen The Bride in other movies as well coming up. It's just not Bride of Frankenstein movies.
And here's something else. Frankenstein is at the Academy Awards this year. There was a Frankenstein movie. There's no end to these Frankenstein movies.
Yeah, that's right. The movie still has intrigue. It's up for Best Picture, in fact. So Del Toro directs that one. It's up for Best Picture. So you've got a lot of things going on here with Frankenstein between this week, The Bride coming out. We just talked about The Bride of Frankenstein and The Bride, but, I mean, this character's been around as well. And Mary Shelley's Frankenstein in 1994, Helena Bonham Carter played the bride in that one. And then also there was a movie, Van Helsing, from Universal in 2004, where she appeared as part of Dracula's big plan. So we've seen this character a lot. I mean, I think people still like monster movies. I think you go to those old Universal monster movies, and I think people absolutely love them. And I think they do have a great life as long as the story can be unique and the story can appeal to people.
And Robert De Niro played one of the Frankenstein monsters.
Mary Shelley's version, yeah, in 1994.
Or De Niro. Now, just to be clear, the monster's name is not Frankenstein. The doctor who created him is Dr. Frankenstein. It was Frankenstein's monster. That's how they refer to him in the original with Boris Karloff, Frankenstein's monster. We just wanted to clear that up. Before we get to the movie news with Brett Hoffman, I finally saw one battle after another with Leonardo DiCaprio and Sean Penn. And I liked it. At first I thought, what am I in for here? It's 2 hours and 40 minutes. What am I investing my time in? I really liked it. Didn't love it. I really liked it, though. And you didn't see it, though, did you?
You know, I've talked about this. This is on my list, and I'm going to see it as part of our Best Picture series this week, actually. So this is one that I've caught a bunch of it. Every time I go to the movies, I seem to get 10 to 15 minutes. Snippets of these when it was out. I'm going as part of our Best Picture Festival, and I can tell you from what I've seen, I love it. People love it. Paul Thomas Anderson just delivers, because you've got both, you know, Paul Thomas Anderson directing, you've got Leonardo DiCaprio in it, you've got Sean Penn, who's up for a supporting actor award, and this one's nominated for 13 Academy Awards.
I know, yeah.
So you're right. People are loving it. I mean, I can't wait to see the whole thing. It's one that just slipped by me now, and I'm just chomping at the bit to go see it when it comes back this week for a part of our Best Picture Festival.
And we were talking, it didn't do well in theaters. It was in and out real quickly. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, I think this is one, you know, Paul Thomas Anderson, he was a little under the radar with this one, but it's a spectacular movie.
Yeah.
And I think this is one that everyone, like, saw it, knew it was good. By that time, some of the theaters had already stopped playing it, but people have brought it back, and now we see it as part of this Best Picture showcase that we're doing. So catch up on this one before the Oscars, because it is probably a neck-and-neck race between One Battle After Another and Sinners for who's going to win Best Picture this year.
I give people a warning. It's got a lot of bad language in it. It could surpass Scarface with the number of F-bombs. So just so you're aware. But there's no sex in it or anything like that. It's just a lot of dirty language. But it's realistic. And it is so good. And, you know, Sean Penn is such a sleazeball in this movie. I hope he's not like that in real life. I don't think he is. But he's such a sleazeball. And that's just, he's one of these people you just don't like. But you do like Leonardo DiCaprio in this film. He turns out to be a real good guy. I like him. All right, so that's One Battle After Another. Let's talk about some movie news. I never saw Game of Thrones. I never saw it. Now they're making a movie, right?
That's right. What a spectacular HBO series this was. Now Warner Brothers, they're developing a theatrical Game of Thrones film based upon the conquest of Westeros in the actual television series, and it's set approximately 300 years before the original series took place. The original series was 8 seasons, 73 episodes, and now we have House of Cards and Andor writer Bo Willimon, and he has reportedly submitted a first draft for this movie. No details yet, because no one's attached to the project yet in terms of directing or in terms of starring. But you know what? I'm quite surprised. This was talked about right after Game of Thrones ended, and I'm quite surprised it's taken them this long to do this, because there's certainly a pedigree there, and there's certainly people looking for this content to be on screen at some time.
Now, did you ever see the TV show Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
No, I never saw it.
It's an amazing show. Once again, take a look. You've got everything in this one between language and all kinds of other things. So not something to watch with children, but what a great written and produced spectacle on screen it was.
Also in movie news, I saw the trailer for this, and I didn't hate it. It looked kind of spooky. Now, you have to know that a lot of cartoon characters fell into the public domain in the last few years. The original Mickey Mouse is in the public domain. Anybody can make it can't be the Mickey that you see today. It's got to be the Steamboat Willie Mickey, who's looked more like a rodent. He's in the public domain. Winnie the Pooh is in the public domain. So they're making horror movies based on these cartoon characters. And now they just made one called Pinocchio Unstrung. And it is scary looking. Pinocchio looks like a demon in this film. And it's very spooky. I mean, I can't picture it on the ultra screen. I don't know if you guys are going to show this, because I don't know if you show these type of movies, but there must be money in it, because they keep making these, like, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, and they made a sequel, and the movie about Mickey Mouse, Steamboat Willie, they made a horror movie based on that. There must be money in it, or they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, these are typically lower-budget horror movies that come to the screen. Winnie the Pooh, Buddy and Honey had a cult following that people went to. You're just going to see this a lot. You're going to see this a lot because these movies move into public domain, and frankly, some are going to be better than others when it comes to these horror movies that come out. But they're basically B-horror movies, and they certainly have an audience.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, it looks like they put some money into it. This puppet looked, you know, evil. Anyway, it was on one of my show prep things, and I punched it up because they talked about it. Okay, Project Hail Mary. Let's talk about that.
Well, Project Hail Mary is coming out on the 30th of this month, and it is going to be absolutely spectacular. This is the space movie. It is based on the book by the same author, Andy Weir, that did The Martian. And let me tell you, it's been screened. Everyone that sees it really, really enjoys this one. It is an epic space adventure about Ryan Gosling. He plays plays a character who is sent into space to try to stop our sun from dying. And up there, he meets an alien, and they try to work on it together. But the big thing about this is it is just epic when you look at the scope of what's going on and what's on screen. And here's the interesting thing. This is being produced by Amazon MGM. It's big budget. It has Ryan Gosling. It looks spectacular. It's 156 minutes long. And according to reports, it does not contain a single green screen shot.
Now, that's kind of a magic thing where actors stay in a studio, and on the green screen later on, they put the actual background in, so it looks like they're in the action, but they're really not. They're in a studio, and that's what the green screen is. So how did they really shoot them into the sun? I mean, how'd they do?
Well, this is real sets, so you've got all real sets going on, and there's nothing wrong with green screen. Some spectacular visual effects are made. But when you look at this and you know that the characters were actually sitting on real sets, reportedly, for the entire movie, that is amazing. So be prepared for this one. Mark your calendars. It's probably the movie of the month when you look at it. Of course, we talked about Hoppers, which is going to be phenomenal. That's an animated film. But if you're looking just for the sci-fi action category, watch out for this one. Everyone loved The Martian. You're going to love this one the same way. This is Project Hail Mary, and just mark your calendars for March 30th in 2 weeks because it's going to be great.
And finally, there's a significant movie anniversary coming up. I've seen this movie at least 7 times. I never get tired of watching it. Fargo.
I never get tired of watching this either. Released March 8th, 1996. 30 years ago, the Coen brothers, Joel and Ethan Coen, directed this one. Considered one of the greatest films of the 1990s. I would say so myself. The story follows William H. Macy. He's a desperate car salesman who hires criminals to kidnap his wife, hoping that he'll be able to collect the ransom money. If you watch it, you know that things don't go as planned, but spectacular performances. Frances McDormand won the Academy Award for Best Actress for her role in this one, and frankly, I really think that it should have won Best Picture. So this year, it lost to The English Patient. I think that was a travesty.
So do I. That was bored to death. The English Patient. There's even a Seinfeld episode of how boring The English Patient is.
When I think about who's talking about The English Patient now, everyone is talking about Fargo. Fargo has, spun these critically acclaimed television series, and I love it like you. I can watch this over and over and over. I can quote it over and over. I think of I think of William H. Macy and that accent that he has with this one. So, Fargo, it is so amazing. It should have won Best Picture in 1996. It was a travesty, but here we are 30 years later talking about it, and that shows how great of a film it was.
My favorite quote is when Frances McDormand is sitting there with William H. Macy at his desk in the car dealership, and he's talking. She says, "Well, are you missing this car?" She goes, "No." She goes, "How do you know?" That's the way she says that. "How do you know?" And she stares him down. She doesn't take his eyes off him. And by the way, if somebody mentions wood chipper, what's your first thought? Every time somebody says, "Well, we got a wood chipper." Wood chipper? The last time I saw that, it was not used for a good purpose. All right, real quickly, the two openings we have this week are?
The openings are hoppers. This is the huge Disney Pixar animator release, getting spectacular reviews. Go ahead and see it. You're going to love it. And we have The Bride. It's a rated R horror gothic thriller, also getting great reviews. It's directed by Maggie Gyllenhaal, and it stars Jesse Buckley and Christian Bale. So both movies are tremendous on the big screen. Lots to go out and see. So go enjoy yourself at the cinema this weekend.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Talk to you next Friday.
We'll see you, Don. Thank you.